All right. Let's take our Bibles now and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Proverbs 23. I'd like to deal with the first 8 verses out of this particular passage of Scripture in Proverbs and the setting that's being revealed here is a feast. Solomon has been moved upon by the Spirit of God to set forth a feast. A feast where men come and they partake of food that's been prepared by, the Scripture declares in verse 1, a ruler. One who is in authority. Now, the book of Proverbs sets forth a natural understanding. When you read the book of Proverbs, there are truths that can be understood by men naturally. That's why people will read something in the book of Proverbs and they think that they see the message in Proverbs because they understand something naturally. But whenever you realize that, as the Lord said on the two on the road to Emmaus, beginning with Moses, the prophets, in all of the Scriptures, He set forth the glory of Himself. He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. So when we look in the book of Proverbs, if we don't see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we didn't see the passage aright. No matter how much we understand, naturally speaking. But as there's always a natural understanding, I want to just look for a few minutes at the natural understanding of this particular passage of Scripture. Proverbs 23, verses 1 to 8. Now remember, it's a feast. But this particular feast is one that has been set forth and given by a ruler, by man in authority. And what he's doing is he's using a feast to entice men to his own way of thinking. He's going to feed them something. He's going to really put on a spread. He's going to set forth some delicacies in this meal to entice men to his way of thinking. Now look, let's look. Proverbs 23:1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Just Solomon sets forth, be moderate, be advised, be aware of what you're eating and who is giving the meal. Be advised, be careful, because a man that has invited someone to a big feast to profit himself doesn't have their best interest at heart. So don't swallow everything that's set forth before you. But more than that, when thou sittest to eat, consider diligently what. That word what right there, actually it's interpreted really who. Consider who is before you. Not necessarily the ruler that's sitting there, but Almighty God. The Scripture sets forth that the Lord is in the heavens. His eyes behold the children of men. And then he says in verse 2, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be on guard. Use some restraint. Be advised that the temptations of what you're eating, they may not be for your good. They may not be healthy for you. May look good to the eyes. You know, the deceitfulness of the eyes. And then he says in verse 3, be not desirous of his dainty meats, of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Don't desire the tasty looking delicacies. They're deceitful. He's got an ulterior motive. They're the bread of lies. They're lying types of food. There's some foods that we eat that are good for us. But someone that's trying to entice you, win you over to their way of thinking, get you to do something for them, they can use these dainty meats. It's this delectable meat. Then the Scripture says in verse 4, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Don't labor yourself with this, the immoderate cares of this world to try to become rich. Now remember, if you're there invited by someone who is giving you a meal, offering you something in exchange for you doing something for them, always remember that their desire is your control. It's to control you. So be advised. Be alert. Be watching when you go. This is natural speaking. You get invited to a meal. You can have either salmon or you can have ribeye. You take your pick. You know, free meal. Not going to cost you a dime. Just want you to listen to a presentation that we have concerning a no-lose program that we've got. No-lose. You can't lose. It's just going to take a small investment on your part. Now, that meal has been given for the benefit of the one giving it. So the Scripture says, don't labor to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Listen. Watch what's being said. And then verse 5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Which you have no guarantee of? What's the probability of loss here? Is there any risk involved in this thing? Set not your eyes upon that which is not. For riches certainly make themselves wings. We're not guaranteed of making a profit on everything. People that can tell you, I guarantee you that you're going to make a profit on this. They don't need you. They want your money, but no, don't set your eyes upon something that has no promise. No promise of true wealth. They make themselves, these riches, that kind of riches, certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, whose eye is not for your good, for God's glory. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. Don't listen to what someone is saying when they have not your best at heart, when it's going to cost you something and you have no guarantee whatsoever. Verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Here we have the word of the Lord concerning what we're talking about. Someone that is inviting you to invest in something and it's speculative. It has no promise whatsoever. Don't eat of his dainty meats. Don't desire his dainty meats. For as he thinks in his heart, that's the way he is. Eat, drink, saith he, his heart's not with you. And then we have a final word of warning in verse 8. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. If you take something lock, stock, and barrel, no promise, no guarantee, what you're doing is you're putting yourself and those that depend upon you in grave danger. The Scripture says that'll come back to bite you. Be careful. Don't take that morsel that you've eaten and think that you're not going to vomit it up. It's going to end up being for your bad. It's going to nauseate you. Now that's just the natural meaning. There's men every day, women every day, that are trying to promise, get into people. They're using people as merchandise. They're using them for their own gain, profit, building up at their expense. And the Scripture's warning us, don't do that. Don't do that. But now, if that's the only message that's set forth in Proverbs 23:1-8, then we've missed it. We've missed it. Let's look at these verses for a few more minutes and consider the spiritual. Let's look at the glory. Let's look at the warning set forth by the Spirit of God to God's people. Verse 1, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what, who is before thee. Now, we're admonished to take heed. When you sit, when you dwell, when you remain with one that has set forth himself as a ruler, a teacher over others, who set forth himself as one that's giving a feast. Now, you know, when the Lord speaks here of a feast, and it's the Spirit of God that set forth this truth, when He speaks of a feast, we're reminded of the faithful word of promise to the Lord. He said, I will give you pastors, those who have the rule over you. Obey those that have, that we don't lord over God's heritage, but we're to guide and direct and teach. He said, I will give you pastors according to my heart, and they shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. When God's people come together and sit and listen to a God-sent pastor, what is that pastor admonished to do? What did the Lord tell Peter? Yes, Peter. He said, Peter, you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. What did the Lord tell him? Feed my sheep. He asked him a second time, Peter, you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. I do love you. He said, feed my lambs. He asked him the third time. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter was grieved because he asked him three times. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love thee. Peter had been disrespectful, denied him. He was grieved. But he said, Lord, you know. You know I love you. And those that love the Lord and love God's people, what are they going to do? They're going to feed God's sheep. They'll feed them. So when you sit down to eat, consider, be advised diligently what is before thee. And the Scripture declares in verse 2, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Now, what does that mean? What's sitting down? A man given to appetite. Well, it's a man that's greedy. Greedy, desirous, lustful for the pleasures of this world. Restrain your appetite is what the Lord is saying. A man by nature is a man who's inquisitive when it comes to things of this world. That man by nature, he's not satisfied with the normal, the mundane. The same thing over and over. No, I want some variety. Man by nature is that way spiritually. He's not satisfied with that which is good and healthy. He wants something that'll tickle his ears. When Paul was in Athens, Acts 17:21, he said all the Athenians and strangers which were there, what did they do? They spent their time in nothing else. Now listen, nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. That's carnal man. That's man by nature. He likes some speculation. I may not be able to back it up with Scripture, but oh, I tell you what, I like the way that's. That's got a real. I like that. Never heard that before. Tell me something. Dazzle me. Give me something novel. Give me something different, exciting. Tell me something that I can tell somebody else that's going to make me appear wiser than anybody else. Man by nature longs for a diversified message. Cover a lot of bases. Tell me about the things of this world. Tell me what we're supposed to do in living in this world. Tell me how to live. Tell me how to think. Tell me something fresh. Appeal to me. Oh, if you be a man given to appetite, to diversity, if you're not satisfied with the truth of the bread of life Himself, you're not satisfied with that, let me tell you what your attitude is going to be. Dazzle me. If you be a man given to appetite, put a knife to your throat. You'd be better off to cut your throat. Put a knife to your throat. Be not, verse 3, desirous of his dainties. Here you're sitting here listening to someone set forth something that is diversified. It's just a variety. And here you are, a man, if you're a man given to that, to want to try, give me a little bit of that. You know, these dainties, be not desirous of his dainties. What these dainties are? They're deceitful meats. What do you mean? What are you talking about? It's these things that appeal to the flesh. Works of self-righteousness. Things that I can do. Things that appeal to my flesh. Be careful. Be wary of that deceitful meat that's being laid out there. You say, well, a believer will never do that. A believer will never succumb to something like that. Not a grounded, faithful, taught believer. I'll never do that. Well, let's see what David had to say concerning this. Psalm 141. David, man after God's own heart. What did David have to say about these enticing dainties? He said in Psalm 141, verse 4, "Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity." What do you say? Lord, keep me from this. Keep me from the deceitfulness. Keep me from the deceitfulness of this world. Keep me from the longings of my flesh. He said, "And let me not eat of their dainties." Do you think the Spirit of God would have put that in there if there was no possible way of a believer falling prey to some of these deceitful, lying meats? The meats that appeal to the flesh. These unhealthy dainties being spoken of. David himself prayed, "Don't let me be drawn away and fall victim to the lures of this world's allurements." Evil dainties. God's people have this desire. They choose, as Moses did, they choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You mean to tell me that you're satisfied just to sit here and hear the same message time after time after time? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. What do you want to hear? Tell me the same thing that the Scripture sets forth concerning the bread of life. Tell me of Him. Tell me one more time how the Lord's put away my guilt. Haven't you heard that before? Yes, I have. I want to hear it again. Tell me one more time how the Lord has borne my guilt in His own body and saved me by His grace. Tell me one more time about that imputed righteousness. Tell me one more time how the Lord loved me with an everlasting love, has answered for me. Tell me one more time of the great high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for me. Tell me one more time. Then Solomon said in verse 4, "Labor not to be rich." Don't try to go and earn your own riches before God. Labor not. Cease from thine own wisdom. The wisdom of this world is to set forth or to think or to believe that I can earn my way into glory by my faithfulness, by my work, by my baptism, by my exercising my free will, by coming down to the altar, by doing whatever. Labor not, the Lord says, for the meat that perisheth. That what you're eating, when it has to do with your work and your self-righteousness, it perishes. It's perishing. It'll never sustain. It'll never stay. That perishing meat that we think has eternal life. Let our work be a work of faith, a labor of love, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, says Peter, Lord, save me. I'm perishing. Lord, I'm gone. Verse 5, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." Will you set your eyes of flesh, longing after those fleshly desires, those fleeting, lying dainties that this world considers spiritual wealth? Will you have those things? And the Scripture sets forth, you're only preparing yourself for loss and disappointment. They're lying riches, and they end up with nothing. Vanity, emptiness, destruction. Verse 6 and 7, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Those men that are setting forth those lying dainties, their eye is evil. Neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The one who's setting forth man-centered, man-honoring, God-despising works of the flesh, the bread of lies. That's what these dainty meats are. If you don't remember anything else, you remember this, these dainty meats that we're warned of, that David said, Lord, keep me from desiring their dainty meats. Those things that would draw my heart away from Christ, the way, the truth, the life. That's the dainty meats of false religion that men are putting out there, telling men, eat this and drink this. The scripture says his heart's not with you. He has no love for you. God's people, God's preachers, they do have an eye. But it's not this evil eye that's being spoken of. The scripture says he that hath a bountiful eye, a good eye, pleasant, excellent, who beholds by faith the Lord Jesus Christ and points men to him alone. They don't point men to themselves. They don't preach to exalt themselves. They preach to men concerning Christ himself. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. Blessed of God and thanked with appreciation by those that the Lord has called out of darkness. They're thanked by those that hear the gospel. For he giveth his bread, which is the bread of life himself, by faith. That's his. You remember when the woman with an issue of blood came to the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She touched him. Came in, touched his garment. And the Lord said, who touched me? The disciples said, what do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. He was in the press. He said, no, virtue. Virtue has left me. Yeah. Somebody touched him by faith. Where'd she get that faith? Well, it was given from above. You know, all men have not faith. But the faith of God's elect is given. The grace of God to believe God. And when that woman touched him, with that faith had been given to her, what did the Lord say to her? Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. He that hath a bountiful eye, for he giveth his bread. God's given himself to him, made him willing the day of God's power. I'm the Lord's, he's mine. I'm his, he's mine. The Lord spoke concerning those that give these dainty meats. The Lord warned of them, Matthew 7. He said, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They're ravening wolves. Jude said concerning these that give these dainty meats, promises that fly away, you know, as an eagle. Here's what Jude said, Jude 1, verse 12, 13. He said, there are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, no fear of God, no reverence for God, clouds they are without water. They promise the showers of blessings from the Lord, but they're clouds without water, carried about of wind, trees whose fruit withereth. You know, it's impossible for a good tree to bring forth evil fruit. Healthy trees bring forth healthy fruit. It's impossible for an evil tree to bring forth good fruit. These are trees whose fruit withereth. There is no fruit. There's no fruit of God's Spirit. They're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's who we're warned against, warned to be wary of. And Scripture sets forth in this last verse, verse 8, the morsel. Now this is to those that have partaken of those dainty meats, those works of self-righteousness that men promise, men who've made merchandise of their souls. Here's the reward. If you want to call it a reward, this is what it is. The morsel that thou hast eaten, that dainty meat that this false preacher, this ruler promised would be to your health, that eat, drink, have it. His heart wasn't with you. Here's what's going to happen. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. There's coming a time when all men, we're all going to stand before God. And we're going to give an account of all these things that were done. Scripture says in our body, books are going to be open and the book is going to be open. And when the books are open, and men who stand not in the book of life himself, those that stand only in their own self-righteous works, those that have eaten of this dainty, these dainties, and thought themselves to be rich before God by their work, and all they've got are those lying, false riches that now fly away, as they thought that God would accept that morsel of that dainty meat that they ate and trusted in, is going to come up again. The Scripture says it like this. The Scripture sets forth, this is the truth of it. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up. It's going to be brought up again. And he says, and lose is what you're going to do. Thy sweet words. What sweet words? That sweet word of fellowship that you thought with that lying ruler, that false preacher. You're going to lose all that he promised to you. It'll be to your loss as those that stood before God and made claim to all that they had done. The Lord will tell them, I never knew you. Never knew you. But friends, listen to me. By the grace of God, the Lord does send a feast to His people. And it's the feast of the message of life in Christ Jesus. Those that assemble themselves together in the name of the Lord. Those that relish the sustaining, healthful gospel of God's grace. Those that are assured that they're eating of the bread of heaven Himself, the Spirit of God bearing witness with their spirit that they're sons of God. God's taught them something. And that gospel that they hear, they're not ashamed of it. They pray as David did. Lord, keep me from the dainties of this world. Keep me, Lord, from being allured away. Keep me from looking to that which would be contrary to You. It's the message of Christ Himself, God's covenant of grace in Christ Jesus. That covenant to show mercy and compassion to hell-deserving sinners. It's the gospel setting forth the bread of life Himself, calling out His own. And they pray, as David said in Psalm 95:6, O come, let us worship, let us bow down, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Friend, I want to leave you with this thought. If you hear a message from one that sets forth or promises life, eternal life, and that food that he's setting forth is a food that the Scripture reveals as dainty meats, is that food that makes your salvation to be dependent upon you? They say that God saves men by grace. But that grace that they're talking about, they say, is but a gracious offer from God. And He offers salvation. And you take it. And the dainty meats that they're talking about is whatever any religion, and there's many, this one may say you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved. That's a dainty meat. You have to be baptized in order to be saved. God's people are not baptized in order to be saved. They're baptized and confess the Lord in baptism because God saved them by grace. They'll tell you something to do. Anything that is set before you that you do in order to be saved is a dainty meat. It's deceitful. And my friend, if you leave this world having eaten that morsel, you will stand before God according to these scriptures and you'll vomit it up. And what you thought was riches towards you will fly away. You'll hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Oh, but those who partake of the bread of life himself, that eat of him, he that eateth of my flesh, drinketh of my blood, he has eternal life. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Christ. Trust Him alone. The bread of heaven is Himself. And may God bless this word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.